Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero on this Thursday afternoon with JP Ong on the phone. It's been an interesting day. A lot of news coming out from all over the world. How has that impacted the market? Well, before the lunch break, it was more a story of down than up. JP, what is it now?
Well, it's another day and another half step back, unfortunately, for the Straits Times Index. Now, the local benchmark is just down by about 4.5 points. So, again, you're not seeing this massive erosion in Tuesday's gains. But we have now slipped a little bit, just a touch lower to 2,515 points, with value turnover also about 853 million Singapore dollars. Across the broader main board and catalyst, it's a little bit more in favor of the green team. So the second and third liners actually doing a little bit better when compared to the blue chips. About 186 stocks, REITs and trusts are in the green. There's about 176 that are in the red today. So a lot of the weight of these coming from the FTI. But again, it's just a slight half step back, more a tremble than it is a full-on panic for markets here. Well, as we speak, we've now seen the Straits Times Index extend those gains, those losses a little bit. They're now down by about up to about 2,513. Now, what's the picture across the rest of the region? And we have to take a look at the queues across the region. Well, again, it's fairly mixed. And greater stocks that are exposed to greater China are taking on more are taking steps back or in the red against two other exceptions. The Nikkei 225 in Japan is up by about 380 points. This is another strong day and another strong rally for Japanese equities, up by 1.9% today. The ASX 200 in Australia also trading 74 points higher. Now, this could also be because of the Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe, who earlier today actually said that there's a very, very low possibility that they will need to go to negative rates to prop up the Australian economy. And he actually voiced out that the economic impact or the blows of the COVID-19 pandemic on the Australian economy, which is set to likely fall into a recession for the first time since the early 90s, it might not be as bad as he thought. Case in point, he actually said that they were expecting a 20% drop in employment in Australia, and now he's saying that, you know, the drop might actually be closer to 15%. Okay, so that number is still bad, but it's not as bad as was previously expected. And any sort of, if you can gain any inch in terms of ground and reclaim some ground back in terms of an economic recovery and an economic stabilization, that does well for markets down in Australia. So the ASX 200 up. But when you look across the rest of the region, there are also half steps back. The Korean KOSPI down by about 0.4%. You've got the Taiwan weighted stock exchange in Taipei, also about 0.5% in the red. Shanghai and Shenzhen. Shanghai is down by about 8 points. Shenzhen slipping by 1.3%. And again, the Hang Seng out in Hong Kong falling by 1.5%. And a lot of the concerns that are keeping markets trembling, at least that are inspiring the trembles we're seeing in markets right now, is from this continued deterioration that we've seen in U.S.-China relations. Overnight, the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in the U.S. said that they can no longer certify Hong Kong's autonomy from mainland China, which could lead to more, perhaps the removal of Hong Kong's special trading status and relationship, which is predicated on Hong Kong maintaining some semblance of autonomy and also independent rule of law from China. But these new security laws, seems that the U.S. is viewing things differently and saying, nope, we can't guarantee this anymore, which could lead to more problems for Hong Kong. And also on top of the recent recent move or the announcement by the White House that they might levy sanctions on Chinese officials for this new Hong Kong security law. Of course, Beijing was not happy about that. They have continually told Washington, D.C., hey, stay out of internal Chinese affairs. So the world's two biggest economies and arguably the two most powerful nations of the world are still at an impasse. And it seems Hong Kong might be caught, unfortunately, in the middle of all of this. This global financial center, U.S. business groups, has now asked U.S. President Donald Trump and have urged him to go slow and take any measures he might take on Hong Kong at a slow and steady pace to make sure that he doesn't cause any potential unnecessary damage to Hong Kong and the economic relations and its position in the world. So there's a lot of questions to be asked right now. But so far, markets just still just balancing these two conflicting drivers. On one hand, investors are hoping that the reopening of these economies will lead to more gradual easing of economic burdens. But again, these new U.S.-China trade tensions, which are resurfacing, we haven't even touched on the recent decision by Canada, by a Canadian court, to that Meng Wanzhou, who is the CFO of Huawei, you know, she falls under the double criminality law rule stance, and that means she can still be at risk of being extradited to the United States for these charges of bribery and the business done in Iran. You take your pick. That plate of U.S.-China tensions is piling up higher and higher. It could actually overtake the worries of the COVID-19 pandemic. And mind you, we're not even sure if we're out of the woods yet with regards to this virus and its impact on the world, because a lot of economies still continue to move very cautiously and try to reopen, but looking over their shoulder, hoping that there's not another resurgence of cases.
It's also not doing much for our offshore yen. That's looking pretty sad as well.
Yes, that's right. The offshore yuan has now wallowed to the near record lows as these tensions have worsened. So we're seeing that the offshore yuan, which is the Chinese renminbi, which is traded in offshore markets like Hong Kong, well, you know, it's just firmed up a little bit, but still trading at some of their lowest levels in months at about 7.18 against the U.S. dollar. Now, the PBOC has moved to try and right the ship. They feel that the yuan has weakened significantly, and this they set the reference rate a touch stronger just to firm it up. But still, the yuan is showing that that China, and there's a lot really riding on U.S.-China relations. For one, they could see the Phase 1 trade deal actually abandoned. And China, who has in the past also moved to try and keep the Chinese renminbi from eroding any further, well, they might actually decide to abandon that and say, you know what, we're going to let the markets determine where the Chinese yuan is going to trade. And if that happens, then you might see more downside for the Chinese yuan, which could then incense trade officials in the U.S. who are still convinced that China is fixing and is manipulating their currency. The other thing, too, is that with the Chinese yuan weakening, this could also lead to some blowback into economies that are strongly connected to mainland China or the Chinese economy. South Korea, Taiwan, and even here in Singapore, which is, you know, again, another one of those potential hotspots and possible risk generators that markets might have to watch out for, especially in this particular region.
You know, we talked about this last Friday when we were looking at the week ahead. Singtel now has reported its Q4. And I personally, there were no surprises. Was it surprising to you?
It wasn't entirely surprising, and the good news, at least, is that Singtel is still in the green. However, net income for the year, which ended March, for that full year, actually plunged by about 65% to just under 1.1 billion Singapore dollars. And again, Singtel did warn that we were going to see some significant pressure, at least, on their profit margins. This was also because they booked a charge for costs related to its investment in Bharti Airtel. Remember that the Indian authorities and regulators actually hit a number of these Indian telcos with massive costs and fines for certain regulatory discrepancies or regulatory disconnects. And Singtel has had to absorb some of that also. So you saw net income for that full year plunge to about 1.08 billion Singapore dollars, and that's also below the average analyst estimates of analysts surveyed by Bloomberg. They were expecting 1.28 billion Singapore dollars. Singtel actually gets more than half of the revenue outside of Singapore. And analysts at DBS have actually pointed out that Singtel actually sees a lot of the revenues dependent also on roaming charges. Well, guess what? Because no one's really traveling, no one's really turning on the roaming or international roaming platform on their Singtel accounts or their Singtel plans. And thus, you've seen this key segment of their revenues and their sales actually significantly dry up, actually, which has resulted in this challenging fiscal year. But that's really only accounting for the first 3 months of the year. We've seen the circuit breaker measures and more of these travel restrictions implemented across the world pretty much just ramp up over the course of the start of the second quarter. So this could also mean that the next quarter, or the April to June quarter, might even see more declines for Singtel moving forward. And the other thing, too, is that Singtel has cut their dividend to just 12.25 Singapore cents for the entire year, and that's 5 cents lower than what the company's previous outlook was, which is also why we're seeing Singtel as one of the biggest drags on the Straits Times Index and the most heavily traded offer on the entire SGX. The shares have fallen by 3.8% to $2.52, and also one of the biggest weights as to why the Straits Times Index is just trading slightly in the red today.
All right. Well, you know, it's challenging times for everybody. It'll be interesting to see what their next quarter reporting is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, a lot of these trends will continue and might even intensify into the April to June quarter, as we mentioned. Roaming revenue still might not be recovering anytime soon until we get more international travel, actually. A slight recovery, at least, in international travel. But Singtel could also see more demand from folks who are working and staying at home who need more data, actually, and might be consuming more data. But will this be enough to actually offset the decline in roaming revenue? That's something they'll have to ask themselves. And also, they'll be taking note of the impact on some of their affiliates across the Asia-Pacific region, Optus in Australia, Bharti Airtel in India, Globe Telecom in the Philippines, you name it. They've got a lot of exposure in these areas. And we'll also have to see how their various associates and affiliates actually did when they rolled out their report cards and their outlooks moving forward.
On the other end of the spectrum, UG Healthcare caught the attention of the SGX, not because they reported any losses or contractions in their revenue, more because they surged too much.
Yes, and I just want to take a look at where UG Healthcare is trading now. Boom, it is up by about 3.3% in today's session, trading at 46.5 Singapore cents right now. But UG Healthcare has actually seen a 41% surge for this entire week, and that has prompted the SGX to make an inquiry about this unusual price movement in UG Healthcare recently. Compared to Friday's closing price of 33 cents, you are seeing a near 41% jump in UG Healthcare shares. UG Healthcare, along with a lot of these healthcare companies, has drawn a lot of attention since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. They are also a producer of PPEs and rubber gloves. And UG Healthcare, alongside the likes of Riverstone, Top Glove, for instance, all seeing strong gains. But this is also unusual, at least, even within the healthcare sector. And we'll have to wait for UG Healthcare's response to the SGX's queries. But so far, they are still one of the more solid performers in today's session. But that 41% jump over the last 4 days, nothing to scoff at, for sure.
All right. So what do we have on prime time today, JP?
Well, today we are going to be recapping the month that was. So we'll be speaking to Terrence Wong of Azure Capital. He's the CEO. And we talk to him always at the end of the month to really see how he gauged the last 4 weeks, how this is guiding his outlook moving forward, and also just to get his take on how earnings actually did over the last since earnings season has pretty much wrapped up. We just saw Singtel's results come out. That pretty much wraps up earnings season here. But the outlook continues to be rather, still a bit tenuous. But there is reason for hope. We do know that phase one of the easing of circuit breaker measures is just around the corner. I believe that's going to be on Tuesday when we see the belt or the belt loosen the notch, at least for lack of a better analogy. We'll be gauging his temperature and his thoughts as to whether or not this will lead to more support or more relief, especially after the Fortitude budget was released just the other day.
Right. Okay. Something to look forward to when prime time comes on and JP is back with his next Market View report. This has been Market View on Money FM 89.3 with JP Ong. I'm Clarissa Montero.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.